Heavenly Father, we thank you for your written word, and our prayer is that you'd help me to teach it in such a way that I neither go beyond it nor fall short of it. And our prayer is that as we look at your word and as we bring your word to bear on our lives, that we might be a people who live to please you and not please other people. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, this morning I want to think or begin by thinking a little bit about the place of discipline in the life of the Christian. Back in the 1960s, I think there was a song that went something like this. I want to be free, like a bird in the tree, And that view of freedom is a view which is freedom from any restraint, shapes very many people. It actually, I guess, shapes many of us, and so many churches. And it's very easy to think that to be a Christian, we need to make no real effort to be spiritual. We just do what we feel, and we're simply ourselves. But I don't know if you've noticed in Matthew 6 that Jesus assumes that his followers will live well-regulated, properly structured lives and show increasing mastery over our desires. Now, Jesus doesn't assume that these things come naturally. No, what he sees that they are sees them as deliberate activities in a life of a Christian and of a developing church family that is walking with the Lord. I remember that as a curate, as an assistant, I remember being barracked by this intimidating member of the church family. He was intimidating because he was huge. He was well over 6 foot and equally about 6 foot broad. And the man boomed at me on one occasion, "We mustn't be legalists, for Christ has set us free." And I can't remember why he said it. Presumably he was disagreeing with something that I'd said. And I've got to say that he was right in as far as he went. But Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, is saying that it is right to set aside definite and sacrificial sums of money to further the Lord's work. He is saying that it's proper to set aside specific time during the day for prayer. He's saying that it's appropriate to engage in specific acts of self-denial in order to seek the Lord's help. And he says that when we do that, it is not legalism or bondage. Jesus is expecting this kind of behavior from his followers, and Jesus is no legalist. So the aim of this morning's sermon is that we'll behave in a countercultural way. Namely, that we won't make it our life's goal to please God our Father, and not make our life's goal pleasing people. If you're visiting, we've been looking at this little section of Matthew's Gospel called the Sermon on the Mount, and we're looking at Matthew 6, verses 1 to 18, and it's on page 970 of the Church Bibles, and it will help us if we have it open as we look at God's Word together. Please would you turn then to verse 1 and have a look at it, where Jesus says this: "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." Now, in verse 1, Jesus lays out the principle which he will illustrate with three examples in our verses. Now, the acts of righteousness are things that believers do because we have a friendship with God. See, if we're not believers, please realize that we cannot earn our way into heaven. No, entrance into heaven is a gift that we receive from God. Friendship with God is a gift that he gives us. But Jesus is talking about things that occur because we already have a relationship of friendship with God. And he says there in verse 1, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. And the key words in that first sentence are to be seen by them. Now with those words, Jesus is directing our attention to our motives, to why we do something. And he is saying that why we do something is as significant as what we do. We are to give money to support the Lord's work, to further the Lord's work in the world. We are to pray and to practice self-discipline, maybe self-denial. But we are to do these things in the right way. Why does it matter? We'll have a look at verse 1 again. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And Jesus says that the reason that we must do the right things in the right way is because God is our Father and he will reward us. Now, only Jesus could call God Father by right. But Jesus came into the world so that you and I, who are by right alienated from God, cut off from him, would pay the price for our sins, and that therefore we could enter into a relationship with God justly and rightly. And Jesus says that those who put their trust in him will know God as Father also. And it is therefore an enormous privilege to know God as Father. See, people who haven't put their trust in Jesus may know a great deal about God, but they don't know God. And there's a world of difference between the two. But if we put our trust in Jesus, then God is our good and loving and powerful Father. And the reason that we don't make it our goal to win people's approval is because God has become our Father. Perhaps if we think about verse 1 in negative terms, it will help us to see what Jesus is saying there. He is saying, don't trade your goal of pleasing God your Father for the goal of pleasing people. Don't exchange it. That's not worth it. So Jesus is really making two points. First, he says, choose carefully whose approval you want. Have a look at verse 2. When he uses his first example. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Well, here is generous Jeremy. Sorry if your name is Jeremy. And many regard him as Mr. Generous. He's the essence of generosity. And he plans to give a gift. So what does he do? Well, of course, he hires a musician, a trumpeter. And the trumpeter will draw attention that he's writing out a check to the poor. And what's Jesus' verdict on him? This man has received his reward in full. See, this man is not actually interested in helping others. No, he's using his money so that people around him will honour him. Now today we wouldn't use trumpeters. We might summon a press conference. That's how the rich and famous do it. But most of us don't need to go to the lengths of having a press conference. All we need to do is to let slip in conversation that God has blessed us since we started giving a percentage of our income to the cause. And Jesus says, keep your giving as a secret. between you and God. Or please look at verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. So Jesus talks about another man. This man is called Percy Prayer, and he's not ashamed to be known as a man of prayer. He comes to a central prayer meeting. He's more than happy to pray out aloud in front of everybody there. Unfortunately, he prays more in public than in private. And what's Jesus' verdict on him? Well, he's received his reward in full. Or please look at verse 16, when Jesus says this, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Here is another man. He's self-disciplined Sam. And he's known for his enormous self-discipline as a Christian. He always looks somber and has never been known to smile. And you can tell by the pursed lips how demanding it is to serve the Lord. And people are full of admiration for him. And Jesus' verdict is that he has received his reward in full. Three times Jesus picks apart the wrong approach. Now just what is wrong with what they're doing? Well, have a look at verse 2 again. Do you see? Look at the words, what he's saying. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do. Or look down at verse 5, please. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Or please look at verse 16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. Three times, Jesus uses this word hypocrite, which is a word taken from the world of theatre. And he is saying that hypocrites, their religion is theatrical, not genuine. See, in the ancient world, the chorus, you'd have a play, and the chorus performed an important part of any play. And what the chorus would do is would tell you and give you the commentary on the play, what's really happening. And then you have the actor, the hypocrite, was the one who would answer the chorus. Now, in the ancient world, in ancient drama, actors did not wear makeup. They wore a mask. And it represented the role the actor played. So the actor pretended to be one thing, but all the time is something rather different. And Jesus is saying that when a person answers to what people want, rather than to what God wants, we're hypocrites. Now, hypocrisy is easy to hide and rather hard to deal with. Outward action suggests that a heart is focused on serving the Lord, but our inward desires are all for recognition and for men's praise. See, so we might respond modestly when we're praised for our acts of service, but inwardly, we're just craving recognition. Certainly true in a church. It's probably true of people at work, particularly when people are facing this sort of threat of ongoing redundancy. You know, when we act like this, when we react badly to criticism, we need to remember that what matters most is not what people think, but what God thinks. So the first point is this: choose carefully whose approval you want. Now, the second is this: attend to your reward painstakingly. Attend to your reward painstakingly. Now, the word reward comes up a number of times in verses 1 to 18. Just have a look again at verse 1, for example. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. And there are different kinds of rewards, aren't there? There are rewards from men that they get, and there's a reward from their Heavenly Father. So you have a look at verse 4, you see, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. We look down at the end of verse 6, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Look down at the end of verse 18, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Reward is stressed throughout this passage. Look back at verse 1, please, and let me read it to you again, and let's just ask the question, what is in heaven? Is it the reward, or is it your Father? Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. What's in heaven? Well, it's a no-brainer. It's God the Father who is in heaven. And what he's saying is that our reward is our relationship with God the Father. Here is Christ. Christ has come into the world to die for us so that we can have a relationship with God the Father, a relationship of friendship. And our reward, if we're believers, is to cultivate, to attend to this relationship with him. You see, everything we do as believers, as Christians, flows out of our relationship with God as Father. And what Jesus is saying is that when we are living to please our Father in heaven, then God rewards us. And it strengthens our relationship with him. But when we are living to please people, it does nothing for our relationship with our Heavenly Father. So we do have to choose carefully whose approval we want. And since Jesus is talking about our relationship with God as Father, we do need to attend to this relationship painstakingly. Now, the reason I think people can be religious hypocrites is because we don't actually know God as our Heavenly Father. See, it's very easy, isn't it, for a hypocrite to be insecure. So what they do, instead of looking to their invisible Father for their security, they look for their reward from people. And that's why, surely, in these verses, in these 18 verses, the word Father comes 10 times. There could be a real case made that actually the centre of the Sermon of the Mount, the heart of it, is actually in the Lord's Prayer, and we'll look at the Lord's Prayer next week. But a relationship with God as Father is a source of security and of joy and delight to the true Christian. If we want praise from men, if that's where we're looking for our security, we will get it from them. But if we want praise from God, we will discover a relationship with him for ourselves. Now, it's very easy, I said, to be a hypocrite, hard to deal with. How do we actually guard against hypocrisy? Well, what we do is we pursue a relationship with God. Just please turn to verse 6 and have a look at it, please. This is what Jesus says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Well, verse 6 isn't prohibiting public prayer. It's not prohibiting a central prayer meeting as we did on Tuesday. All it is saying is that the way to guard against hypocrisy is to cultivate prayer with our Father. He says we are to shut the door. In other words, we are to pray to God, our Father, on our own. And all public prayer flows out of private prayer with God on our own. See, prayer to God, who's created everything, God who's our Father, is surely the greatest privilege that we can have as believers. I was brought up in what I think was a happy home. I loved talking with my father and my mother. I enjoy spending time talking to my wife. But do we talk to God our Father. When was the last time you spent half an hour talking to the Lord about an area of service that you are involved in, assuming that you are involved in an area of service? When was the last time you switched off the television and prayed to God for an evening? If we're going to guard against hypocrisy, each of us needs to practice prayer on our own. We need to shut the door and open our hearts to the Lord. Now, there are seasons of our lives when it's very difficult, and I suspect Gavin and Louise, with a small baby, will find it incredibly difficult to spend half an hour praying, for obvious reasons. But others of us need to actually do this. So let me just recapitulate what I've said. Jesus contrasts the wrong and right way to behave. He's saying what we do as believers flows out of this relationship of friendship with God. And we are to make it our goal to please our Heavenly Father and not make it our goal to please people. He gives three examples. It means that he talks about money, about prayer, and about self-discipline or self-denial. And he says what it means is we'll give money sacrificially to support the Lord's work. If you're one of those people who've not yet organised or checked whether you're giving to support the Lord's work here at St. Peter's or elsewhere, there's stuff at the back you can pick up. But sort that out. But what we'll do is we'll sort that out and we'll make it an issue with us and the Lord. And we'll spend time in private prayer with the Lord regularly. And we'll master our desires as we live under Jesus' Lordship. But we'll also be alert to the right way about going about it. We know that actually the Lord's work requires generosity from us. And so what we will do is we'll say, I will give a generous amount to support the Lord's work. Not a miserly amount, but a generous amount. And we'll know that that's what he wants from us. But then we won't tell people how much we give or boast about it in private conversation. We'll make an effort to spend time in prayer regularly with our Father, opening our Bibles, reading God's word, and talking to him about him, about the things on his heart and on our heart. And then we'll make efforts to master our desires. And all of us, until we die, will have issues that we need to address in our lives. But we'll address them without making it obvious to all and sundry that we're doing so. Now I want to say that Jesus' values are so different from our own, aren't they? And our societies. You know, in our society it's become commonplace for people to blow their own trumpet whenever they do anything half decent. You know, we get a footballer who retires, and David Beckham, he's obviously a very good footballer. But as far as I can see, he's been a self-publicist all the way throughout his career. And we're not to be like that. Why? Because God wants the praise to go to him and not to us. And we're to be a people who bring praise to God our Father. If you've been coming through the series, you remember back in chapter 5, verse 14, we're to be the light of the world. We're to bring praise to our Father in heaven. And so, therefore, we need to sort out our financial giving. And to be generous, maybe make a will, making sure that we give to St. Peter's Church when we die. Making sure that we're actually people who pray. Addressing those issues in our lives where we know that we dishonour our Father. May it be that we as a church make it our goal to honour him, and may we individually follow suit and thus heed the call to be people of private prayer with our Heavenly Father. Let's bow our heads and pray. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Father, we want to begin by giving you thanks that you have actually done an amazing thing in our lives, for many of us here, that you've brought us into friendship with you through the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of his death on the cross for us, we may call you Father and be totally unafraid of you. We pray for any here who are afraid, who don't find their security is in you. We ask that they might talk to you privately. And we ask that you would encourage them and help them to develop and see that their only security is in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And then we also ask, Father, that we would be people who live to praise you and not simply be shaped by our society and the people around us. Help us to listen to what Jesus has said so that we might behave in a way that is appropriate to being your children. That we might give generously to support the Lord's work and without boasting or letting people know how much we've given. That we might be people who talk to you privately, on our own, before we talk publicly. And that we people are people who address the issues in our lives, that we actually master those desires that so pull us down. And that you would therefore develop what is good in us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that there is a privilege that we can know, not simply you, know about you, but we can know you as our Father. And we thank you that's an enormously satisfying and enriching relationship. And we pray that you would help us to pursue this relationship in our lives as our number one priority. And we ask it for your name's sake. Amen.